This is VSiN by the Books on VSiN, the Sports Betting Network.
It is the Thursday edition of VSiN by the Books. Dave Ross right here at the Mint Gaming Hall in Franklin, Kentucky. He's our closer, Jensen Lewis, back home in Cleveland, Ohio. The last major of the year, Jensen. It is well underway. What a day we had on the pitch yesterday. Maybe England is celebrating the Open today, not celebrating soccer. We'll talk a lot about that. But Jensen, a great start to the morning early here for us in the United States.
Just like old times for you, buddy. The alarm clock going off super duper early. So I think you're about to have lunch here at 7 a.m. Eastern time. So good start to the round. First time in a long time we get some live sports to do here on the show. We'll keep everyone updated across the pond. So lead the way, my friend, to your favorite days here doing the show live and in living color for sure.
Jensen, as good as it gets. So, got up super early, got a little workout in, get a little breakfast in and all. It's like, what time is it? Oh, yeah, it's still early here in the United States, well underway over there in England. Going to talk to Greg Peterson later on in this very hour, get his baseball bets for the day. There is one standalone game that we're going to have today. We'll talk about with the Phillies and the Mets. Mike Palm, the maestro, will join us from Las Vegas. That is in hour number two, and that means Jensen will find out what is on his pressing mind today. And Chris Vasili is going to be back in the program today from Covers. Does a great job talking soccer. Can't wait to have Chris back in the program as well. But let's start right there with what we saw yesterday on the pitch. That's where we'll begin our highlights and headlines.
Help your bottom line with today's highlights and headlines.
Kind of a sleepy game for the majority of it, and it looked like England up 1-0 late as you're getting closer and closer to regulation time at least being expiring. And then Jensen, all of a sudden, Argentina out of nowhere, a couple of tallies late, and they move on. The great cross from Messi to set up the go-ahead goal, and it's Argentina that is moving on to the final to take on Spain on Sunday. I don't even know what to say if you're a backer of the three lines this morning. That's got to be an ultimate gut punch.
That was as good as it gets. And yet again, they just will not die. Heart of a champion, mm-mm, indeed, in Argentina, led by the greatest to ever do it. Lionel Messi, couple opportunities for him to put a goal in, but he assisted there on the equalizer. And then just 6 short minutes later, a cross that will be long living in Argentine lore, his 10th assist now in the World Cup stage. That's your go-ahead game winner. And you just heard the pop that you heard inside. I know they call it Atlanta Stadium, but at Mercedes-Benz, from the open and where the anthems were on both sides, this had a Super Bowl feel to it. Two hated rivals. I mean, these two fan bases do not like each other. And hey, for 2/3 of that match, it felt like destiny for England did not come to pass. You got to put down the champs when you have the chance. They couldn't do it. So now we have our final. Spain, Argentina, champions of the European side, champions of the South American side. Let's do it on Sunday afternoon there in New York.
Yeah, maybe one last dance for Messi, arguably the greatest to do it of all time. I know a lot of people have that sentiment this morning after that cross, as you mentioned, Jensen, to get Argentina into this final against Spain. It'll be interesting if Spain scores first. Do they try to park the bus like England did? It did not work out. And a lot of teams have tried that against Argentina. That has not been a good strategy for those teams. Early lead, dangerous lead against Argentina, that's for sure. You know, we mentioned the final major of the year is going on right now at Royal Birkdale over there in England. And they were debating moving back the final round, moving up the final round of the Open so that the countrymen and women of England could watch their squad on Sunday. You don't have to worry about that now, Jensen, because with England out, you can play those tee times as regularly scheduled. So it is underway here. Scottie Scheffler off to a great start, 3 under. He actually got it to 4 under, a birdie to give one back, but that is the lead right now. A bunch of guys right now at 3 under par, Jensen. The scoring very, very good so far this morning at Royal Birkdale.
Yeah, like a couple of good things. That's a good early outlook for my placement market on Scotty. Played him at top five at plus $1.34. Mm-hmm. Tyrrell Hatton also off to a great start. Our no-fly zones, at least on my side. It looks like Bryson DeChambeau, at least through the first nine potentially here, looks competent at the moment. He's two under. Victor Hovland giving one back on the eighth here to fall back to one under. And we'll wait for some of the other bigger boys. Couple of ads in the first round leader market. I did have Tommy Fleetwood overnight, and I will add Rory McIlroy 24-1, Colin Morikawa 51-1 for first round leader. Just knowing, as you alluded to, scoring looks like it's going to be there. Iron play, precision, like those two guys in their recent form. So excited to see what this afternoon wave across the pond, but the later morning wave for us as we continue to get moving here.
Six guys right now tied atop the leaderboard at three under par. Robert McIntyre, one of those guys at three. He's on 18 trying to get in the house at even par for that 18th hole to get there at three under. So Thomas Dietrich, who you know I like to wager on, have nothing on Dietz this week, and yet he's tied for the lead there. Also, one of those guys in the house at three under par. So we do get Major League Baseball back in our lives today. I don't know if I'm ready to get hurt again with the Mets as the standalone game here, Jensen. I mean, I can understand why you scheduled this at the beginning of the year, but now it doesn't look so advantageous against the Phillies. But you know what this is like for these teams, and not just the Phillies and Mets, but everybody else in action tomorrow. To get that second half, do you get that breather that you had for the last 3 days and really feel like, all right, boys, let's get off on the good foot here and see what we can do in the second half?
I always hated having to play this game if you were in it, and thank goodness I never had to. But we do get Christian Scott for the Mets, Aaron Nola here for the Phillies. Total is 9.5. Phillies a slight home favorite here at minus $1.35. Mets are a plus $1.12 underdog. And make no mistake about it, this is going to be one of those spots where Philadelphia can continue to ascend up what is now a pretty tight race here in the American League East. Remember, it was the Phillies just two games back entering the break that they're trying to run down the Atlanta Braves, the Miami Marlins, hard charging here in the month of June and July. They're now only four back. So it's the weird start, Dave, because you've got the game tonight. Then you have the off day tomorrow for Philadelphia, and then the two games over the weekend to finish it out. And then the Dodgers come calling against the Phillies. So it is an important homestand. Mets, Dodgers, and then Yankees a week from tomorrow. So a nice big long homestand, but a tough one for the Phillies to start the second half.
Mets will begin the second half 17 games under 500. I really cannot. To quote the late, great Jack Buck, I don't believe what I just saw in that first half. Hopefully we see something different in the second half. How about this? Alvin Kamara is not going anywhere. Agrees to a new deal here to remain with the Saints. So you get Travis Etienne, who's also signed in the offseason as well. I don't know how much you've got left from the former Tennessee star here, but it sounds like he's not going anywhere. He's probably going to begin and end his career here, potentially with the Saints. What do you make of this two-headed monster in that backfield? I know a lot of people, certainly at VSiN, like the Saints this year.
I think this is a good one just because, let's be honest, what's the war of attrition on running back rooms? And for a guy that is pretty familiar with the system there, and obviously Kellen Moore wanting to add to the weaponry for Tyler Shuck. So I think this is good. Veteran presence, five-time Pro Bowler in that room, week in and week out. Yeah, I think that's a nice little addition here, I guess, bringing him back into the fold. So anxious to see. I know you're high on the Falcons. I again, will look to the Tampa Bay Buccaneers. Was watching a little bit of Quarterback on Netflix. If you haven't watched that, season three is out. Oh. And, you know, I've been through Baker Mayfield here in the Cleveland era. He was still a young guy, didn't really have that maturity about him just yet. Tell you, his teammates love him. I think this NFC South is very wide open. I know you and I will dive into it much deeper in the coming weeks, but very competitive Saints team towards the end of last season. Would expect them now to have a little bit of pressure. Hey, when you're the Hunters, way different when people aren't going to be surprised with what you're bringing week in and week out.
Saints right now, Jensen, are the second betting choice here to win that division at plus 365. Remember, the Panthers won it last year. They're plus 310. Your Buccaneers, plus $1.64, is the betting favorite. My Falcons are the long shot right now at plus 425. I'm still surprised by that price. We'll see how that plays out, but it does feel like a four-horse race potentially there in that division. Boy, we had chaos last year in the ACC, Jensen. Like, which team should actually get and play in this in the ACC final? Well, we've got rules. What do we ask for in the betting market, Jensen? We just want rules, right? So new rules to implement this year in the tiebreaker rules now for the ACC. Probably could have used this a year ago, Jensen, maybe a year late, but at least they got something here.
Yeah, and again, for people that don't know the specifics here, the number one tiebreaker remains the head-to-head record, which, oh my God, what an
as
idea, Dave. Amazing. Right. Hopefully the college football playoff can remember that, talking to you, Miami and Notre Dame fans. The ACC also, when the head-to-head matchups cannot separate tied teams, here's how they're going to do it now, Dave. They will use the team success ranking provided by Sports Source Analytics as a way to reward the team with the strongest body of work. And the big reason why they're going this route is with the college football playoff now giving automatic spots to each Power Four champion, ACC Commissioner Jim Phillips said it was important to be sure the top two teams in the league will play in the ACC championship game in December. I can't believe it. Logic prevails. Go figure. This is a day one executive order from us in a Lewis Ross administration. Yes, the two best teams should be playing in the conference title game. That is not a revelation we should have waited to get until now.
Very quickly, we mentioned that the second half of the baseball season will begin tonight in earnest with the Mets and the Phillies. But this was a little move that we saw yesterday. Lance McCullers Jr. will go from the Astros to the Brewers. And I know maybe his best years are behind him. But, Jensen, will we start to see some of those smaller moves before we get to the trade deadline?
Yeah, a lot of this on depth, too. Remember Kyle Harrison with the forearm tightness? Remember, they told us, don't worry about it. Jacob Mizorowski, you know, did not make, you know, his final appearance there. They want to try and space this out. So no shock in trying to get a guy who has had some postseason success, as we well know, in his Astro tenure for sure.
When we come back, Jensen, let's talk more about the chaos we saw on the pitch yesterday. I'm sorry, England. We got to do it to you. We're talking to next right here. It's VSiN by the Books. So you're listening to this podcast because you want an edge. But what if I told you you're only halfway there? You've got the mindset. Now it's time to get the toolkit to match it. Here's the thing. Pro bettors, they spend thousands on data and tools. But what they don't know and don't want you to know is that you can get the same edge for a fraction of the cost with VSiN Pro. With VSiN Pro, you're going to get access to expert picks, public betting data, prop projections, powerful tools, analytics, and so much more. Just tap the link in the description and see why thousands of bettors are already using VSiN Pro to cash more bets.
You're tuned in to VSiN by the Books right here on VSiN.
There's no shortage of betting opportunities this summer from daily Major League Baseball. World Cup soccer will culminate on Sunday, but then it's our football season, Jensen. We can't wait. That's why it's the perfect time now to lock in VSiN's football special for just $175. You're going to get full VSiN Pro access through the Super Bowl, including our all-new 2026 and 2027 NFL betting guides. They'll help you attack those futures, win totals, divisional races, and the upcoming season. Plus, you're going to get our daily best bets, real-time betting splits from DraftKings and Circa, AI-powered prop projections, 24/7 video on the VSiN Watch app, and coverage of every major sport all year long. Remember, the earlier you sign up, the more value you will get. Head over to VSiN.com/subscribe right now. That's VSIN.com/subscribe. We have a new leader, Jensen. Take me to your leader right now. Sung J.M. is 4 under par. Just made a birdie there. So he's the first guy to get to. Scotty did get to 4. Made a bogey to get back to 3. But it is Sung J.M. And Jensen, this is always the FOMO, right? I had Sung J last week on my card. Misses a cut at the Scottish. This week, a great start at 4 under par. But there are a lot of big names, including some guys we have. We'll keep you updated. The changing numbers going on right now at Royal Birkdale. Yesterday, boy, you know, Joe Friso, our esteemed producer, said to us, Jensen, like, if you were rooting against England, and I don't know who was, maybe some of us here, like, boy, it might have been the most painful way possible that you could have lost if you were backing the three lines yesterday. Now, if you're an Argentinian fan and watching Messi with that cross and the comeback, maybe it's just par for the course, Jensen, because that's what they do, right? They are so hard to beat right now that if you're Spain on Sunday, I think you have a little bit of apprehension, even if you get a lead after you keep seeing these comeback after comeback after comeback for Argentina.
Well, it, first and foremost, you know, when you look at where Thomas Tuchel was brought in, you know, Gareth Southgate, a lot of people wanted him sacked before he was, but they brought in Thomas Tuchel because he was supposed to be the technician and be that guy in these moments that was supposed to be able to make the necessary adjustments or substitutions or tactical changes that would get you through. And for two-thirds of this match, it looked like it was going to come to pass. Well, that's the operative word is pass, because we're used to seeing Lionel Messi go find a goal in this point to resurrect his team and bring them back. And David has been the calling card, at least in this World Cup, for Argentina, not only to score late, but to score with fury and ultimately find their way through. The Pharaohs of Egypt can tell you firsthand, arguably the greatest comeback, at least in the knockout stage of this modern era, scoring the three goals within the final 15 minutes plus stoppage time to win after being down 2-0. This one had a little different feel because it did look like England sent everyone back and kind of played tentative. The substitutions being what they were, even with Argentina sending on as many attackers as possible, England could have had a counter even after the equalizer, but you just felt that tidal wave of Argentina's offense press forward. You know, Enzo Fernandez just, I mean, it's just a thing of beauty, right? The long distance equalizer, the pass from Messi, and then Martinez with the clinical header 6 minutes later to seal it. Messi would say, although it was just one match, we experienced some special moments. The fans wanted this victory more than any other because of what it means to face England in a semifinal and reach another World Cup final. If this is it, this is a hell of a swan song for Lionel Messi to find his way into the World Cup final.
I get why Spain is the favorite to win this on Sunday, and we don't want to be prisoners of the moment with what Argentina did yesterday to come back and shock England the way they did. But $1.60 betting favorite to hoist that cup at the end, it seems a little heavy to me. Look, I'm rooting for Spain because you know I've got some tickets on them and futures markets, that sort of thing. But just from a one-game perspective, as you mentioned it here with Argentina, we're just not surprised anymore with these comebacks because this is what they've done over and over and over again. So even if they fall behind 1-0 early in this thing, you know, you better not try to park the bus as we saw England try to do if you're Spain, because that recipe for other squads just hasn't been good. I get the Spanish defense might be the best one that they're going to face, Jensen, so maybe it's a different element if Spain took that lead. But if everybody else keeps trying the same thing to get Argentina out and they can't, do you think Spain would be more aggressive even if they took a 1-0 lead?
Boy, that's a fantastic thought. I will dive into it in earnest over the hours today and before tomorrow, just, you know, kind of coming down emotionally from what we saw. And there's the operative part of where we are for the handicap. Remember, there is still a final match here for third place between now France and England. And what is the motivation factor there outside of, you know, these guys just getting, you know, some players in who have not seen a lot of action, if any. That's the hardest part about the third place match, and anxious to hear what Chris Vasili has to say later on in the program. The golden boot race now, it feels almost as though if Mbappe doesn't want to get, you know, his best effort there in the third place match, I know you got to lay $2 on Messi, but don't you feel that he's good for a goal? I would say that has to be the case. Even for a penalty, we know that's possible. For right now, looking at where Messi, anytime goal score, including extra time, I would forego laying the $2 for the golden boot race, Dave, and I would just play him plus $1.30 on DraftKings, anytime goal score, including extra time. There, you would believe that if indeed it is going to be a truncated feel with Spain's defense as elite as it is, we know that Messi is going to take it from the spot if there's a PK opportunity. So I would rather have the full 90 minutes in stoppage time plus the extra time opportunity for him to find the back of the net. That's the way I would go instead of playing anything in the golden boot race right now.
You know what's fascinating about that, Jensen? If you're watching here, and we appreciate everybody watching here on FanDuel Sports Network. If you're watching on YouTube TV, you're listening on SiriusXM channel 158. So you see that Messi is up to $2.50 in some places to win this award. But if you go to DraftKings right now and you go to top goal scorer, Kylian Mbappe is odds on to still win that at minus $1.25. Now, again, maybe it's because now that third place matchup, if you will, against England, we didn't know if Mbappe was even going to play in that match. Remember, they're tied up at 8 goals. The tiebreaker would then, of course, be assist, and that's why Messi now has that assist tiebreaker against Mbappe. So we're getting to the weeds a little bit here, but the technicalities of it. But, Jensen, I wonder now in that third place game, do we think it's no defense? And Mbappe could go off for two is if he's still motivated to go out there and win this individual award.
Okay, if you feel that way, very interesting market here on DraftKings. They do have a winner, a World Cup winner parlayed with top goal scorer. Spain and Mbappe is plus $1.80. Argentina and Mbappe is 5-1. So if you do want to get a little different from the field and have a little skin in both matches with one wager, that is fascinating. Or if you think this is all script and you send out the greatest ever do it with hoisting the cup, Argentina to win and Messi to be your top goal scorer is plus +225. That might be a way to differentiate yourself from just the standard, you know, one-offs there. So interested to see how that market kind of shifts, depending on if we get news into the weekend that Mbappe's going for it or, you know, it's not going to be the best right. effort. So motivation, they've never before has been such a huge part of a handicap than where it is in this particular market.
Funniest thing, Jensen, I'm walking in here, the Mint Gaming Hall this morning and saying hi to the security guards as I do each and every morning. One of them just asked me point blank, is this World Cup rigged? And I said, no, it's Messi. He's the greatest player in the world, right? But it's almost unbelievable. Now, you can understand, like, the tongue-in-cheek nature of the question of, like, it just feels scripted the way Argentina keeps doing this. And it does not – it almost seems surreal. And I am not one of those people. Look, if he does it and they win and Messi does it again and they come back and beat Spain, I don't know that you could ask for more of a storybook ending. But I'm not going to go that far. I think Spain, as you know, I've got some tickets there, so I'm rooting for Spain. But I love what you just did there, that maybe I can look to an Argentina or a Messi golden boot way to almost do a hedge, if you will, Jensen, in that alternate market. I kind of like that idea.
I don't know if you saw on social media where someone had posted since back in 2021, Argentina just beat Spain in the 2026 World Cup 3-2. The exact score of Argentina to beat Spain, who, by the way, has still only conceded one goal in this World Cup. It was 40-1. It's down to 35-1 for exact score in 90 minutes plus stoppage time, 3-2 Argentina. I don't know if we have a fortune teller among us, but I did see that circling social media yesterday for the exact score posted in 2021 for the final. Not only got the matchup right, but that's the exact score that they predicted as well.
Okay, that is a little bizarre right there. That 2021, 5 years later, here we are. Wow. Okay, when we come back, Greg Peterson, he's done with his run. You better be following him on social media. Incredible what he's doing out there for the people. He's going to give us some plays in Major League Baseball for us next, right here on VSiN by the Books.
VSiN by the Books, right here on VSiN.
We continue VSiN by the Books. Dave Ross and Jensen Lewis giving an update here. We have two at the top now here at the British Open over there at Royal Birkdale. Dan Brown, the Englishman, has joined Sungjae Im at 4-under par. Still out there on the golf course. He is already in the house, and Sungjae is still on the back nine. Scottie Scheffler, by the way, at 3-under par, Jensen, has now vaulted back to the betting favorite, but really getting shorted here. Under $3 betting favorite now to win this tournament after a very solid start here, 3-under, as he's getting ready to make the turn as well. This man makes a turn every day, a lot of turns, because he goes out there and runs, and then runs some more. Greg Peterson, kind enough to join the program, host of VSiN's Coast to Coast Hoops podcast and the Baseball Betting Show. Give him a follow on X at GUnit_81 and joins us now on the Progressive Guest Line. Good morning, Greg. Now, you've been doing this challenge before we get to Major League Baseball here for the people out there, and you're actually, they're telling you where they want you to run in Las Vegas. Is that right? And you're running to the destinations that the people choose. Is that correct?
That is correct. I decide, you know what? I've run 12 miles a day every day for darn near 3,000 days. I take the same route every single day. Let's mix it up a little bit. Let's see where the people want me to go. You want me to run to a cheesecake factory? I'll run to a cheesecake factory. You might want me to run in, shall we say, maybe the part of lovely Las Vegas that you don't get seen on TV? You know what? I'll do so. So I've been taking these challenges, and it's been a lot of fun.
Oh, God. Well, a lot of fun has been this All-Star break. It has come and gone, and we are at an opportunity where the standalone game, the bet on Tuesday, is always fun. But this is one I remember as a player. Unfortunately, I have to go through it. We looked at these two teams of players, and we texted guys, and we're like, oh, God, does this suck? Don't even get the extra 24 hours of the All-Star break. Instead, they'll get the off day tomorrow. But for today, Mets-Phillies from Citizens Bank Park. Easy handicap for you, Greg, looking at what Philly did headed into the second half.
It is a pretty easy handicap because Aaron Nola has not been very good this far this season. So I'm going to be fading him with plus money on the Mets on the money line. Nice hearty 5.75 ERA for Aaron Nola. Now, I will say this. A fielding independent is a 4.67. He's been a little bit better than what the ERA would indicate, but it's just really hard to trust him at this point. He's a guy that I feel like has been overvalued for years, certainly has been thus far this season. He's been one of your lesser profitable pitchers in all baseball, to say the least, because the team is 9-10 in his starts. He's giving up 1.9 home runs per nine innings. Now, Christian Scott, the issue they have with him is walks, about 4.1, 4.2 walks per nine innings, but certainly gets a lot of swings and misses. It's a Mets bullpen that actually has a lower ERA than that of the Philadelphia Phillies. And when it comes to coming off of the All-Star break, maybe it's just the way that I think of it, but I think the pitchers are going to be rested, ready to go. I feel like the hitters might be a little bit rusty. So even though it's warm, good inning conditions out there in Philadelphia, I like this 9.5 under and took the plus money with the Mets on the money line.
Let me ask you this, because Jensen and I have been trying to do this over the last 3 days here during the break. You start to look at teams in the second half that you think might be able to get off on a good foot here, and maybe if they were underperforming in that first half, and start to slowly turn things around. Are the Mets one of those teams? 17 games under 500. Now, I'm not just doing it as a Met fan here looking for a ray of hope, but can you really flush out a first half and completely turn that script? And if so, do you see any teams that might be able to do that in the second half?
I don't want to be banking on the New York Mets to be able to do so. If you bet $100 on the New York Mets on the money line this season, you're down $2,300+, depending upon your closing numbers. Like, man, they're lighting their own money on fire, and they're lighting your money on fire. Do not give me any part of the Mets. The teams I'm looking at are someone has to win games out there in the American League. Like, I mean, someone. Like, that is the most mediocre league I've ever seen in my life, and someone's going to need to separate from the pack. I just still keep going back to the Texas Rangers. I don't know if I could take them to win the pennant because I was seeing that plus 750. That does seem too short for an offense that has not been great. Do I think that they can win the AL West at plus 150? Yeah, I do. They've got really good pitching. And here's the kicker. If you're looking at some of these futures right now, you're sort of anticipating moving forward what a team is going to do at the trade deadline. And there are so many teams that are right now just sort of in no man's land right now. And it's 2 to 2.5 weeks away from the trade deadline. I think it's something like August 2nd, August 3rd. So we're coming up upon it really soon. And for the Texas Rangers, what did they do last year? They weren't even really in contention. And they still traded for Merrill Kelly. They still made moves to try to go for it. With this American League being as awful as it is, you have to think that they're going to go for it once again. With them being plus money to be able to win the division, I think that's worth a look. And just in an individual game-to-game standpoint, I do think that they're going to be able to provide you some value.
It's going to be interesting. And value also, when we get a little two-for-one, Greg, I know you are a big fan and a Lewis Ross administration executive order day one. at least one day baseball game per weekday. And we will get that on Friday because we get a little day-night doubleheader action from Fenway Park. Now, in an all serious note, anxious to see if they keep that 1:35 p.m. Eastern first pitch with all of the prevailing air quality issues. We're getting it here in Northeast Ohio with all the wildfire issues from Canada coming down. So we'll see what happens there. But they're going to try and play two on Friday, 1:35 and 7:10 p.m. I believe we have Griffin Jacks, Jake Bennett are the listed starters there for game one. Bigger picture for you, unless you got a handicap for me, and we'll take that. Boston absolutely in fuego to the end of the first half. Tampa Bay is the best record in the American League. Your handicap on potentially that game, but also kind of where you see both teams moving forward.
Now, I've already handicapped out the next 4 or 5 days with the schedule, which obviously that's going to be so much subject to change because you're going to have a lot of moving pitchers. The game that I have handicapped for like Saturday might actually be happening on Sunday. You always find yourself in that little bit of a strange situation because starters are going to be moved around. They're going to try to get some of these guys a day or two more rest, things of that nature. But that said, with the Boston Red Sox, what I think is interesting is what you mentioned. They were really on fire towards the back half of the first half. They're 10 games below 500 at home this year, and they're over 5 games above 500 away from home. The most wackadoo home and road splits in all baseball. 3.55 runs per game at home. That is dead stake in last in all baseball. They're averaging more than a full run per game more away from home. And typically, Fenway is supposed to be at a ballpark that really does a nice job in terms of being able to elevate your offense. I'm going to probably be in on them in game number one, as long as I'm getting them at some sort of a reasonable number. It was looking like you might be getting Shane McClanahan in game number two. And if you're getting someone like a Shane McClanahan, probably not going to be able to back them there. That's a little bit of speculation. That's a little bit of subject to change. But for the Boston Red Sox, I think that they're going to be a very interesting team moving forward because home games have not been their friend whatsoever. They have been road warriors this year, though.
You know, Greg, I'm looking at a marquee matchup starting up at the Boogie Down in the Bronx on Friday with the Dodgers coming in town to take on the Yanks. And, you know, I think we all kind of look at the Yankees in the first half and go, oh, wasn't that good? And yet you can kind of flip that narrative and say 12 games over 500 without Aaron Judge for a good portion of it and without Garrett Cole at the beginning of the year, could you make the case that actually the Yankees have overachieved in this first half? Because, you know, you can get them plus money to run down the Rays and win this division right now. And, you know, you got to wait and hope that Aaron Boone comes back, or excuse me, that Aaron Judge comes back. And when he comes back, he still looks like Aaron Judge. But what do you make of the Yankees? Because I think the perception is more negative, and I actually think it might be more positive.
I think it's somewhere between A and B with the Yankees. Like, the bullpen has actually been really good for the New York Yankees. You know, look, since May 1st, they've got the best bullpen ERA in all of baseball. Garrett Cole, since he's come back, clearly has not been himself, though, and it happens every single year with the New York Yankees. When Aaron Judge goes down, everyone looks like they're with a blindfold at the plate. Like, in their last 22 games going into the All-Star break, they were averaging less than 3.5 runs per game. It's really miserable. And keep in mind, they've been without Giancarlo Stanton for a long time as well. So that's also something that you want to be monitoring. I think for the Yankees, there are some people that might be like, oh, there's a lot of promise for them moving forward. There's a lot of people that are saying that they're disappointed. For me personally, when I use common sense, if you have one group of people saying that, you've got another group of people saying the exact opposite. Typically, it's between A and B. They have not overachieved. They have not underachieved. They've just achieved this far. So I think we're probably going to get that moving forward. I think that this is a volatile team. And if Aaron Judge comes back, the Yankees might be able to run down the Rays. If Aaron Judge does not come back and he's the Aaron Judge of old, you might be up a creek without a rowing utensil. So I think that's something that you very much want to be checking in on. And I mentioned it with the Rangers being a team that's good, probably be looking to buy at the deadline. With the New York Yankees, you know, with that money, they're going to buy at the deadline as well.
All right, last one from me, buddy. Last 30 seconds. They are hated rivals on the gridiron between Pittsburgh and Cleveland. Maybe a developing rivalry here as Progressive Field will host what is all of a sudden a very impactful series. Jared Jones, Gavin Williams, tomorrow, 7:10 Eastern. What do you like potentially in that matchup?
If we could get a minus 130 or better on the Guardians, I will be looking there. And for the Guardians, keep in mind, with the likes of Jose Ramirez and so many guys out, an 8-plus what that total would put me in on the under. Gavin Williams has been significantly better when he has been at home rather than away from home, awaiting some more solid openers there. But if I can get a respectable number on the Guardians, I'd be willing to lay it.
GUnit underscore 81, find out where he's running today. Maybe he's not going to be running very far, but still running far. If you're picking up what I'm putting down, check him out on social media. Greg, great stuff as always. Going to come back, talk some American football. What about those Colts in Indianapolis? You're on the clock next right here, VSiN by the Books.
You're tuned in to VSiN by the Books right here on VSiN.
Winner Circle Proxy and VSiN are giving away two incredible prize packages that are going to put two lucky fans into the world's biggest football contests free of charge. One winner is going to receive a $1,000 entry into Circuit Survivor, and another one's going to win a $1,000 entry into Circuit Millions. So both winners are going to receive a full season's Winner Circle Proxy service, a VSiN studio tour, and a free month of VSiN Pro. So you got to enter by Sunday, August 2nd, so plenty of time there for your chance to win. All you have to do is visit winnerscircleproxy.com/VSiN to enter today. That's winnerscircleproxy.com/VSIN. Very quickly, update right now at the British Open. Two guys are in the house at 4 under par, Daniel Brown, the Englishman, and Sungjae Im at 4 under par. So they are done for the day. That means first round leader bets out there. That's the number you got to shoot for before you can think about cashing one of those first-round leader tickets. Jensen, let's get back to our football here in the United States, talking about those Colts in Indianapolis. That's where we begin today's edition of the Daily Gridiron. And the Colts right now, their winning profile for their win total is 7.5 here, Jensen Lewis, to make the playoffs, is +$1.68. To win the South, +360. AFC 22-1 in the Super Bowl 45-1. Look, this time last year, nobody was talking about the Colts. And then we saw that the start they got off to, they looked like one of the best teams in the NFL. And dare I say, they were one of the best teams in the NFL until Daniel Jones went down. So I don't know it's as easy as saying, well, if Danny Dimes is back and healthy, Jensen, which is a question mark, that they can revert back to the start they had a year ago. What, 7-1 out of the jump there? They looked fantastic in the early part of the season. What do you make of this team? And look, once he went down and the injuries happened, this team cratered. They had to go to Phillip Rivers late in the year out of retirement. We saw all that. You're hoping Daniel Jones is back to being him because he looked really good when he was healthy.
I think he's going to have to be your QB1. I realize that Anthony Richardson had, even after the trade request, returned and impressed. You know, he's, hey, we got to be pros here. When you realize that a deal's not going to be made, Riley Leonard had to step in, obviously, with the injury issues, got some game experience there. Remember old Easton Stick, who was in that quarterback room. Not that he's going to factor in much this year. I did see some rumors that Jonathan Taylor, they were looking at, even in the final year of his deal, that there wanted to be a workload reduction. All he did was have 323 carries, I believe, last year. I would want an extension for that. I would absolutely want to be compensated for the hard work that I've put in and what I could potentially do. The monster deal for Alec Pierce, even with the ankle issue, that was huge. I think that caught a lot of people off guard with the significance of the total and what was guaranteed. Josh Downs still in there as well. Tyler Warren in year two, a great year one, big part of this offense. I think the offensive line still strong. Up front, Quentin Nelson, going to be part of it. You do lose a couple of people from that side of the football. Now that Sauce Gardner is fully integrated, you hope that the calf issue does not linger for him. Treverius Ward has had the back stuff that he's had to overcome. If they're healthy, they've arguably one of the best cornerback duos in football. And I think that was probably the big part of the design in acquiring Gardner was to be able to be shut down in the back end there. So you look at the draft, C.J. Allen, they didn't have a first-round pick. They had that second-round selection. They take the big linebacker, C.J. Allen, out of Georgia. I would imagine, Dave, he steps right in. High-motor dude, big part of that Bulldog sweltering defense. I would say that he steps right in and could be a huge part of the equation. They did get A.G. Halsey out of LSU, the safety, as a ball hawk guy, had a lot of interceptions during his collegiate tenure. So it brings us back to macro. If you have a healthy Daniel Jones, if you have Jonathan Taylor with a normal workload and he's fresh, you have a pretty decent defense. It's all about, we have to channel what we saw in the first half of last year. Injuries are a part of every season, but Dave, when I look at this club and I look at where they got to start, holy hell, how about the first 3 weeks? Ravens at home, into Arrowhead, and then down to Texas to take on the Texans. My goodness gracious, if they find a win out of that three, I think that's success considering what they have coming back right now.
And then after that, you get on the Big Bird and you got to go over to England, play a football game against Commanders. So, like, it's just, it's one of those weird, quirky scheduling situations for this team. I'm confused by Shane Steichen. And look, with the passing of Jim Irsay before the year began, passing it on still in the family, I'm not saying that they had other things on their mind as a family, as a team, as an organization, but I almost felt like he got a pass last year. I don't know that Shane Steichen, if they get off to one of those slow starts, which is very plausible with this very tough schedule, you would think on paper, at least to begin, could be one of those guys to be first coach fired. And again, no idea how the daughter's going to run it, how the rest of the family's going to run it from the way that Jim was running the football team for as long as he did. So that is always the caveat there. Lou Anarumo is the defense coordinator, year two for Lou there. I kind of feel like you've got a veteran presence there that if you'd had to make a coaching change, you would go right inside and stick with a guy like that, that we felt like maybe a couple of years ago could have been up for a head coaching job. And I just look at that and I go, Shane Steichen is an offensive guy. He came over from Philadelphia when they had great success there, got them to a Super Bowl with Jalen Hurts. So, you know, he's had a bit of a runway now here in Indianapolis and did look like it was working with Daniel Jones before the injury. So I don't think all of this is fair to throw at the feet of Shane Steichen with all those injuries to the quarterback room. It's almost impossible for any team to rely on that many backups and then go to the street and get a grandfather literally out of retirement like he did in Phillip Rivers and be successful. So, Jensen, I just wonder if Daniel Jones is not himself. And there's no indication that says that he's going to be fine and the leg's going to be great. He'll be mobile. Remember, I always called him Josh Allen very light. I'm not saying he's Josh Allen. But what makes a guy like Daniel Jones successful is being able to utilize his legs. And if he can't to that degree, or at least he can at the beginning of the year, and you make him a sitting duck in that pocket, that's where the turnovers for a guy like Danny Dimes start to happen. So I worry about Steichen with a guy coming off of a great start to the year and a devastating injury. I don't know that I can just bank this team to say he's going to be back to being that guy we saw before the injury. I think that's a big ask for a team right now with a low win total of 7.5 in a division I think is very gettable. I just don't know that I want to back this horse and this train right out of the gate. Maybe later in the year, have some patience, but right off the jump, Jensen, it's a wait and see approach for me until I know that Daniel Jones is healthy.
All right. So this is always a fascinating part of looking at week one and week two. And the great part of our VSiN NFL betting guide is that for each week, Dave, our great colleagues were able to put together some significant series trends. I got to tell you, the Colts are probably going to be someone that we identify in week one, as long as everyone is healthy. Indianapolis hosting the Ravens. The Colts are on a 10-2 ATS run against Baltimore. The under is also 13-2 in the last 15 games. So think of the roster turnover the last decade and a half. Yet when these two teams meet, the under is almost automatic and the Colts covering is pretty much the same percentage, if not better. So might be a millions pick that you want to lock and load and forget about it just because of the track record of it. Hey, first year head coach, Jesse Minter there with Baltimore on the road to start. Not the most hostile environment, Dave, but still, it's week one of the NFL, and we know it's as unpredictable as it gets. So something to file away from a contest perspective, but I'm with you. I think the first half of the Colts schedule is really brutal, and the even after that, they're going to have some tests. Now, they do end up playing, you know, in a dome. And so the only outdoor games that they have, they'll have two in December. They got to go to Philadelphia and they got to go to Tennessee and then Cleveland right after the beginning of the year. So at least from a track meet perspective, if you're healthy, they should be able to operate unencumbered, and interested to see what they do when they come back from that road trip against Minnesota. And then also Jacksonville, where they'll have three of their next four at home. And obviously the four straight, they'll be playing indoors heading down to Texas to play the Texans.
You know, I love where your head's at with that. And I'll tell you this, I don't have any plays yet for week one. I might be adding one right now. 49.5 is that total. And I'm looking to a dead under like you are. And remember, this is Jesse Minter coming in for Baltimore again, a defensive-minded guy. This has got to be Lou Anarumo and that defense that leads the Colts early. I'm with you, man. I like that underplay. Colts are getting 3.5. I don't know if I'm going to jump at that number right now because I don't know what that offense is going to look like, to my earlier point. But maybe that under could be an early look for me here in week one for the Colts and the Ravens. You are watching VSiN by the Books on VSiN, the Sports Betting Network.